Welcome, everybody. Welcome to ShareEnjoyment.com. This is your host, Mordechai Plotzker. Welcome to the nightly edition of a beautiful review and recap of Parshas Pinchas. I just wanted to share that I'm going to open with a close, that we know that Pinchas is Eliyahu, and that Eliyahu comes to every single bris. And the question is, why? So I'd like to begin by looking at the opening sukkim of the Parsha to try to navigate and try to understand a little bit better what is so unique about Pinchas and how he is so misunderstood, especially in contemporary translations of who he is and what he represents. So if you look at the psukim and they say that he was Hanai, right? We say Pinchas ben Elaz ben Aaron, Kohen Heshiv es Chamasi, Me'al ben Yisrael, Bekano es Kenasi, Bisochan velo Kalisi es Bnei Yisrael Bekenasi. There's three references to that word in that one pasuk. And then the next pasuk says, L'chein Amar, Hinei Nosen Lo Es Brisi Shalom, that Hashem gives them the Brisi Shal Shalom. It doesn't make any sense the way that these psukim are organized, because why would Hashem give Pinchas Brisi Shal Shalom? What was so unique about his actions? And is this something that we want to replicate? And if it is, you know, we clearly, I think the answer is in the question, because we already know that we have something a part of us at every bris, because Pinchas is Eliyahu. So let's try to deconstruct some of these words and try to see. First of all, we'll go right into a grah. The Gra says that the word Chamasi in this pasuk is Ches Mem Tuf Yud. If you look closely, if you think about it, the Mem and the Tuf are together, which spell Misa or Mace. So that means, and then the Chai is on the outside. The Ches and the Yud are on the outside. What does that mean? So Pinchas was Heshed Es Chamasi. He retracted the Chamasi. And in a way, he kind of put a piece of tinfoil between the two letters Mem and Tuf, and let them dissolve, and then brought back the Chaim. As a result of his action, the Misa that was ongoing, where 24,000 Jews had died, ceased. So we know that he did something amazing. The question is this the type of behavior that we want to encourage? And what is it about Pinchas that we can learn? How do we learn from Pinchas? So when we take a step back, we have to first translate these words. If you look at our scroll or some contemporary translation, you'll see that the word, if someone says to you, how do you define a man who has kanayas, someone who represents Pinchas? So what does that mean, that the word kanay? So someone would say zealot or zealotry. Oh, but today zealotry is not something that we aspire to. We're more tempered. That's true, and that is the way that we should be. But there's something unique about this word, because it may mean zealotry to some, but tonight I'd like to propose an alternate translation or definition to this word. If we look at the psukim earlier on in Bereshis, for example, it says, Batakana Rachel Ba'achosa. The same language is used. Batakana Rachel Ba'achosa. So does that mean that Rachel was a zealot? No. If you look at Rashi, explains the Kedusha Levi, you'll see that the word Batakana Rachel Ba'achosa means that Rachel, says Rashi, saw in her sister attributes that were so beautiful, and if she could only replicate them, she too could be blessed with four children. So, Batakana Rachel Ba'achosa means something different. It means that Rachel judged her sister at that moment in a very favorable manner. And as a result, she saw the good, not the negative, in her sister. And that's how she was able to improve her own nidos that much further. There's another pasuk that says, Kel Kana V'Nokim. Does that mean that God is a zealot or that God is a jealous God? God doesn't need to be. God is not jealous. If a person takes coleslaw and pastrami and makes a sandwich and says, this is my God, then we clearly know that he loves pastrami sandwiches, but that doesn't mean that he's acting or speaking in a rational way. If a person puts two stones together, puts two sticks together, or whatever a person does and refers to this as the God, then this person needs, you know, psychiatric help. So clearly, this, you know, we're not talking about a God that's a zealot, and we're not talking about a God that is jealous. Kel Kana V'Nokim means that God judges the situation at that particular moment. So now when we look at the psukim, we see Bikano Es Kinasi, that Pinchas was able to assess the situation, judge it affirmatively, and then exact judgment in accordance with what God wanted done. And that's why the pasuk ends with the lokilisi es bnei Yisrael dikenasi. And I, says Hashem, did not destroy Klal Yisrael Bikinasi through my judgment. Why? Because Pinchas had aligned his understanding of judgment with Hashem, and that's the reason why he was given a Bris Yishol Shalom. But just a little bit of context. Pinchas was the one who, by the way, his relationship was, Pinchas was the one who walked over to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said, Abolus Aramis, like, you know, if this is the situation where Zimri is living with Kozbi, what's the din? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kanai Pogumbo, then if you remember the halacha, because I, Moshe Rabbeinu, apparently have forgotten it, you should go ahead and exact judgment. So Pinchas went ahead and did such. He took Vayikach Roma for Yodo. He took a dagger, which he put by his wrist, which went up to his elbow. And as he approached the tent of Zimri, there were guards there, the Medrash says. And they first labeled insults toward him. And they said, ah, look at this, Ben Puti is here. Ben Puti was a very nasty, derogatory term that they labeled at Pinchas. Why? Because his grandfather was Yisro. How do we know this? Because it says Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. But Elazar, his father, married one of the daughters of Yisro, just like Moshe had done. So Tzipora's sister was Pinchas' mother, which meant that Yisro was his grandfather. And so when they said Ben Puti, they were saying, oh, you know who's coming? It's this guy. You know, he calls himself Pinchas, but we all know that he is a grandson, Ben Puti, of Betuel, the guy who fattens his oxen and sheep for idolatry. But that's a very poor reference. Why? Because Yisro had already converted. As we say, Vayishma Yisro, what did he hear? He heard of the Shmua Tova that, number one, Hashem took Klai Yisrael out of Egypt, and number two, that Hashem had destroyed Amalek. So he had already converted. So the very reference to someone that had taken on it, that's why we don't say Avram ben Terach. We don't reference this because Terach never converted. But Avram is a standalone individual. So we don't reference someone who takes away from his strength and honor in Ekev Asher Shemati Bekoli, that we know that Avram Vino was Zavik Tashem for 172 years, the Gematria of Ekev. And since he lived to 175, he found HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the age of three. So, but we digress. We go back. Pinchas is saying, hey, listen, I want to go inside. Ben Puti, Ben Puti. He disregards all of the name-calling, and he holds firm. He goes inside, and we all know. The next part of the miracle was that if somebody comes to hurt you, Hashkim Lahargo, Habar Lahargecha, Hashkim Lahargo, you have to go ahead and defend yourself. So if Zimri would have killed Pinchas, then he would have done so in self-defense, and the story would have been moot. Zimri would have continued. The tribe of Shimon would have continued under the leadership of Zimri, and they would have continued with the Midianite women. So the miracle was that he was able to enter into that room and then take the dagger and kill both Zimri and Cosby and then carry them out on the dagger, which is a miracle in itself to carry two people on the dagger, not get killed by all the guards, and then throw the two bodies into the courtyard. And then look up to Hashem, up to the heavens, and say, Al Ela Nifku Arbav Esram Aleph. On account of these two people who have done this ghastly act, this is the reason why 24,000 Jews have to die. To which the Malachim petitioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, we have to kill him. He can't speak like this to God. He can't speak up like this. He can't talk like this. He can't challenge God's decision. Whatever God does is just. And Pinchas over here is challenging and saying, these two people resulted in 24,000 deaths. Doesn't make any sense. Hashem says, no, from Malachim. This person, Pinchas, let him speak because he's one of my chief lieutenants. He's a captain. He's a general in the army. In the army of Hashem, he is a leader. And Lachein Amar, not only am I not going to hurt him, I'm going to create a circumstance by which Pinchas, this is Eliyahu, he will remain living with us for eternity. And so we go back and we ask ourselves, he's at the bris. We have so many people to invite to a bris. We could invite Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, Aaron, David HaMelech. You can invite so many people, so many leaders of yesteryear. Why is it that Pinchas Eliyahu is at every single bris? And the answer is because this child is so young and so impressionable. And we know that as life commences, there are challenges that are given to each and every single one of us. So some of which are simple and some of which really test our caliber to remain steadfast to Torah and mitzvot. And here we have an individual like Eliyahu who stood up to the tide and spoke his mind and remained firm to Torah and mitzvot. And that's exactly the type of messaging that we have. Yes, it's true that the Avos all faced challenges of their own, each one respectively. However, Pinchas did an incredible act by not only holding firm, but being able to judge in accordance with Hashem. So we give this child a bracha that when someone has to judge, and 9 out of 10 times a person judges, they judge negatively, meaning they judge through jealousy. They don't judge through judgment, which oftentimes requires positivity. An example of which would be, you see a guy who's not Shomer Torah Mitzvah, and he does anything and everything he wants, and he's Mechal Shabbos and whatever, this and that, and you ask yourself, I suffer, right? Not suffer, but I do all of these things, and I give up, and I don't go to bars on Friday night, and I'm careful with what I consume, and I'm careful with, you know, with sending, with instilling a Jewish vibrancy and a Jewish education, and this guy doesn't do anything. Why is this fair that he should have all of this? That is not the question that we need to be asking. It's not our question. As I say, whatever they say about me, for example, behind my back is none of my business. The answer is that we don't know. It could be that a generation or two ago, his grandfather, great-grandfather was a shamash to a rav. He may have opened the door for a blind person. He may have given tzedakah to people that are in need. And now he is either living off of the keren, the principal, or the payros, or the dividends of the actions of yesteryear. And so we have no idea why this person has been blessed the way they've been blessed. But we should really be happy for that person. We should never be judgmental. And if we are able to judge, and we should say to the contrary, we should say, Hashem has blessed you. God has blessed you with all these things. You should really be makar tov for all of this. And that's the way we should end that conversation, as opposed to saying, it's not fair. We have no idea the workings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not for us to judge in a negative way. Therefore, we look back at this individual, this baby, at this bris, and we say that you should have this chus, the siyata d'shmaya, divine providence, that you should be able to judge in a way that is in concert with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as a result, you should carry the blessing of Eliyahu with you your whole life, that you should be able to stand up to those that try to tear you down, to remain firm and steadfast to all of the things that you believe to be true and just, based on the Masorah that was given to you by your father, your grandfather, and your Alta Zaydis. And in that schus, you should be a beacon of light for the entire Jewish community. This is Mordechai Plotzker in Elizabeth, New Jersey, wishing you the very best. A week filled with Hatzlacha and Bracha, B'chol Minei Tov. Have a great week.